podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is Snotty Justin.
And I'm Normal Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love
extended leaves of absence,
then this show is for you. Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
We've been busy. I know you missed us.
Dusted off the old microphone.
That's right. But we're back with a vengeance.
That's right.
And we have our good guest, Tosin Mournfulla.
Yay!
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing?
Tosin's with us. He's excited. He's ready to go.
Right? Really, you're excited?
I genuinely am.
Tosin.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of you guys in this podcast. Yes.
I'm blushing. Tosin is a big deal, folks. I mean, I'm not going to give him too big of a head here. But Tosin, just talk a little bit about what you've been doing. Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm a actor, fellow actor like these guys. And I have worked with Justin before. I got to direct him in a show where he got to be a superhero.
Ooh,
which I think is relevant to this podcast. It was a children's show called Reading and Other Superpowers. And he was incredible with it, along with Poncho.
I played a character named Letter Libre. He was cool. A superhero. His superpower was reading.
And nice. we definitely called upon his great superhero knowledge to imbue some of our storytelling.
And my ability to read.
Did that come in handy?
Yeah, it did.
It sure did. And then I guess the other relevant thing is, because this is MC
That's Miku, right.
Or Miku, as I call it.
Everybody calls it Miku.
That's what it looks like.
I also have been part of a superhero world on the DC television universe. I'm in a show called Black Lightning, and I play a character that is not within the comics. So they've invented a bounty hunter, a teleporting bounty hunter named Instant, who comes in to shake things up every once in a while.
Hell yeah.
And I've gotten to do that a couple times on that show.
It's so cool. It's so cool, you guys. Go watch it. Go support Tosin
and his
Nightcrawler-esque abilities. Tosin, have you yourself ever read a comic book?
I used to a little bit. Not like heavy, but my older brother was into comics. He had a stack of comics, and I would rifle through them. Growing up, I was big X-Men and big Spider-Man. We were an X-Men Spider-Man household, I would say.
Yeah.
Dope.
I think that's fair, and with some Batman trickled in there.
Yeah, nice. Good dash of Batman.
Yeah, just a dash. Yeah. Because we all knew he was a poser.
Sure.
He didn't have any powers.
So do you have a favorite that you'd say?
Well,
besides yourself.
As brothers, we would always like pick, you know, which was your favorite X-Men, and my older brother and my younger brother both loved Wolverine.
Mm. Yeah.
They always tended to love the same thing, but I was more straight-laced, and I liked Cyclops.
Oh,
little did I know
I.
that Cyclops was known culturally as a pussy. I did not,
that's so true.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's definitely the vanilla. But you know what? It goes with everything that I've ever... Like, well, I'll get into that in another episode, but I'm very much a vanilla guy myself.
Well, and also there's something to be said for being a rule follower doesn't make you a weirdo, and also being a good leader and loving a woman passionately, even if you lose her.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true.
I don't know what that says about my psychology, but...
I think there's a whole section of psychology that's just like superhero Rorschach tests.
Yeah. It's which Ninja Turtle are you?
Yeah.
And then it describes what kind of lover you are based on that.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Let's make a quiz.
Speaking of Rorschach, Watchmen. Holy
shit. Watchmen.
Yeah. That's all I can say.
I haven't seen it. I've seen the movie. If you like the movie
or the comic, you're going to love the freaking show.
Aside from a momentary dip in episodes 3 and 4, it is exceptional.
It's very great. All right. So, that was a loud clap. Sorry about that. So, in this new year, we're kind of restructuring a bit, just so y'all know. We're going to try and do a little bit shorter episodes, kind of really just focus on what it is we're trying to do. And with that, we're going to kick this episode off. Ooh. So, just be prepared for some changes to your usually scheduled program.
Get ready, folks. 2020.
2020 coming at ya. Tosin, roll that die.
Yes.
Okay.
Roll that die.
Here we
roll
go.
That die.
And
we got a 12.
12. Okay, Tosin, you're going to read off this list. Number 12.
Number 12 is, whoa, Wonder Man. Oh, no. I've never even heard of Wonder Man.
Wonder Man.
Okay, first impression, Andy.
Wonder Man, his superpower is curiosity. He's always wondering about things. And so he's very knowledgeable. And because he's always looking things up. Good. And it's just... It's a difficult time. His story is that it's a difficult time now that everyone has telephones, cell phones, and they can look up things for themselves.
Tosin.
My first impression is I wonder about this man. I feel like the fact that he's so unpopularized makes me assume that he's going to be like, I don't know, maybe it's like a Batman situation where it's not actually power, he's just really smart or considerate.
Sure, sure. I'm gonna say we're in for a roller coaster on this one. This could be interesting, but I will say the one big thing that's gonna be fun to play with is that the hero Wonder Man, the guy, and he's an actor. He's like he's a movie actor prior to getting powers, I believe. And so I don't know. Kind of funny having Tosin on the episode today. With that, we can play with some of that. That's so funny. We're gonna go do a little research, and we'll be right back with more on Wonder Man. Cool. And we're back.
Oh boy.
Yay.
Oh boy. Wonder Man.
All right, so in this new structure, one of the things that we're going to try is to do just a 1 minute rundown. We'll call it the 1 minute
rundown.
We'll call it the 1 minute rundown until I can think of something funner.
You're gonna time you?
Yes, you're gonna time me. Okay. And go.
Woo.
Wonder Man is Simon Williams' first appearance, The Avengers number 9 in October 1964. Simon grew up kind of rich, like Tony Stark-esque. He ran his father's company, although he wasn't very good at it. Williams Innovations. His father, by the way, Sanford Williams. He ran his company because his older brother Eric didn't want to. Eric, who later becomes a villain named the Grim Reaper. Simon goes to prison for embezzlement and is released through the help of Baron Zemo, another villain, who recruits him, gives him superpowers, ionic energy, durability, super strength, all kinds of crazy things. And then has him join the Avengers secretly to ambush them and destroy them. But he grows a conscience throughout that and ends up becoming a member of the Avengers anyway. He falls in love with Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. I was going to say Scarlett Johansson. He becomes a movie actor. He eventually becomes a pacifist. He has connection to villains. He's
and that's
dope.
A minute.
Ooh. Wonder Man.
And Tosin wrote a song.
Wonder Man. His powers his are iconic. His legacy.
His powers are ionic. His legacy iconic.
He's not blue like that Sonic. And definitely not bionic. Wonder Man. Wonder Man.
Did you say he's not blue like that Sonic?
Yeah, man.
He's not blue like that Sonic?
That's true.
Definitely not bionic.
Oh, gosh.
The shared
good.
Sega and MCU universe.
So, there's some really fun stuff here.
That's going to be my whole contribution for this podcast.
That's enough, honestly. That's great.
So, our time starts now. We need to figure out what this movie is. Where does it take place? Who are our characters? Simon Williams is a pretty cool character. The first thing I should mention, actually, is that he was a big not big. He was rumored to be a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, 2, Volume 2. And there was, I think, like a deleted scene of a movie poster in the background that had Simon Williams' name on it. So he's kind of already been toyed with and played around with, but never really seen. So I guess my question for the big first question is, like, he has this connection to Vision.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics, Vision is given his memories and kind of his brain pattern to kind of be more human-like. That's a really simple way of putting it, but in the movie, obviously, that doesn't happen. And now, spoilers for, I guess, everything, just if you haven't seen Endgame and whatnot, then you should. Vision is supposedly dead. And even if he's not dead, he's not there now. And I guess that there's kind of
his
an intriguing
android body is not functional anymore.
There's kind of an intriguing opportunity for Simon to then kind of move in a little bit into like on with Wanda Maximoff, who in the comics they have a relationship. It's again a love triangle between those two and the Vision. So I mean,
it's just a love line.
Do we want to explore that at all, or is that just something that we should leave?
We don't know what Wanda and Vision is about yet, so we don't know if is that
the show. Wanda Vision, we're not sure what exactly it's going to be about. Ideally, I would say my thought on it is that she probably uses her chaos magic and brings Vision back. Either that, or I still have the theory that Shuri, at the end of
Shuri is Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' daughter.
Oh, sorry. at the end of Infinity War, I think she actually did upload successfully Vision's brain, like she was supposed to. But then I guess maybe that wouldn't make sense, because why wouldn't she have?
She makes a backup first of the whole system, and then she starts to make the different. She makes the connection sequentially. Right?
I guess she did dust away, didn't she?
Yeah, so she was gone. So came back and picked up where it was.
So
it was
I mean, buffering. There's a chance that I don't. It was buffering for 5 years. That's I don't know.
A lot of data.
Do we want to even mess with? Maybe we should just see where we're at and then see if we can plug her in later.
I think this is a Wonder Man movie, so we should probably focus on Wonder Man.
Oh, okay.
I happen.
Can you
to
have
love
more
the,
attitude,
I,
please?
I happen to love the idea of. Of infiltrating her into the storyline.
I think Scarlet Witch could definitely be a part of it. I don't know if Vision is.
No, I'm just saying, like, where is she? Where is Wanda at this point?
Relaxing, man. She's been through a lot.
She saved the world. She was part of the team. She just been sipping on them margs.
Yeah, please.
Sipping on them margs.
Margs and mims.
All right. So, okay, so let's talk about Simon then. Okay. So Simon. It's kind of interesting. He's got, excuse my stuffy nose, by the way, everyone. It's just that winter.
Well, now that's all they're going to think about.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, now it's all I can think about. So Simon has kind of an interesting parallel to like Tony Stark. And that's even brought up in the comics because
they have a bit of a rivalry.
William's innovations actually, you know, it when Simon begins to run the company, he ends up kind of failing a bit to Stark Industries, to the competitor, essentially. So it's kind of, I mean, I wonder if we can, I mean, there's some flashbacks maybe to that rivalry between them. You know, let's get Robert Downey Jr. back.
Yeah.
And he'll be,
that's great.
It'll be him in the 90s.
Or the
early 2000s, maybe.
We'll use some of that sweet, sweet Samuel Jackson CGI from Captain Marvel.
Youngify him.
On Robert Downey Jr. Make him look like he's a chaplain, like Charlie Chaplin again.
So if we start with a flashback to, like, some sort of, I don't know, rich guy convention, rich white man convention, you know.
That never happens.
So. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's too far-fetched.
Well, I don't call it that. But yeah.
Right.
We need a more grounded start to this movie.
And we see... better idea. What if it's, I mean, same thing. It's still a rich white guy convention, but it's Sanford Williams and Howard Stark.
Yeah.
So the daddies, right? And
they're having
cigars or something. Mm-hmm. And the boys are playing.
It's in black and white.
The boys are playing black and white. It's that old.
Grainy.
The boys are playing out in the hallway, and we don't know who they are. They're just kids running around the hallway, and then we start to figure out, oh, that's Tony Stark. That's a young boy, Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. Oh, and who's this other kid? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's two other boys with him. And it's Eric and Simon Williams, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're all these little rich brats, right? I don't know. Go from there. That's all I had.
Yeah, I like that start, though.
Yeah. I think, you know, we get a little semblance of, you know, like, what the relationship is between these two companies and how they parallel just between, like, how these two families treat each other.
I like the idea of, just in terms structurally, I would hope that we come back to this flashback later on in the movie and something, we see more of the scene and something more is revealed. Mm-hmm. I'm already thinking ahead. I don't know what that is, but I just I know it'll be cool to have a callback to that. Do the families have a rivalry? From the two fathers, Sanford.
I would think so, right?
Because... I would say they probably have a friendly rivalry, like most billionaires do. You know, it's like, if we're both getting rich, then what's the problem? But maybe, or maybe something happens that night in that flashback and the friendship is like torn asunder, and then the Williams boys can't hang out with Tony anymore or something, you know, like something happens. I was thinking, okay, jumping that track. What if from there we flash to, like the grave site of Tony Stark? It's probably like some big elegant grave site. There's probably flowers and all kinds of Avengers memorabilia and stuff all over. Right. And then we just kind of, it's raining, and then there's Simon, and he's just, you know, maybe it's like present day.
Yeah.
And he's remembering this, and then he goes and gets in his limo,
or
and he goes,
a police officer comes up behind him and says, okay, time to go. And takes him back to prison.
That's the last thing he wanted to do before he goes to prison is go and see Tony's grave. But I kind of like the idea that what if the Williams Innovations like starts to rise in stock after Tony Stark's death?
Interesting.
So Stark Industries is starting to tank under Pepper's control. Not that it's her fault by any means, but just the fact that Tony Stark is dead, or you know what I mean, like what if it's time for Williams, now it's time for the Williams family to rise up. I don't know, what do you think?
Well, this is interesting because I'm already thinking about the whole thing that we learned in the research about him starting out as a villain,
right?
And so I'm just wondering, is this the movie about him being a hero, or is this the movie about him being a villain?
I would love to get Zemo involved.
I would love that as well.
That would be cool. And if we can, like, maybe he's a villain insofar as he's manipulated by Zemo?
Yes.
Maybe?
The tricky thing... Okay, so here,
Zemo's the real,
here's
real
the
real
tricky
villain.
Part. So. Okay, if we do set this in present day, like, after Endgame and after all this stuff, which is ideal, just because otherwise, where was he during all of that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky because if the idea is a very simple idea for him to infiltrate the Avengers secretly... Problem is there's no Avengers right now, or at least we could, I mean this would be the first time that we see them, so I mean that's a huge thing to like put into a movie called Wonder Man.
We could use and honestly it's kind of part of the joy of the last Avengers movie of Endgame was watching them return to scenes that we're familiar with,
right,
and return to New York and return to, so maybe what we do is use New York as a bullet point, as a or you know they always say remember New York or whatever the other big atrocity was that they did in Wakanda, you know. Maybe we use one of these Avengers meetups from previous times as the point where we have our turning point for Simon to be met with Zuma or to join the Avengers for a brief second or go to the Avengers. Like there's like maybe one of those events, catastrophic events, is a turning point for him and his character, or a point where he is met by the guy who's going to turn him evil.
Sure. I guess, so let's just say, okay, let's say hypothetically we get the movie, we have him rising up, it's going well, and then he starts getting in bed with some bad guys, that's not good, then he goes to prison, or whatever happens, you know, whether he goes to prison or not, Zemo starts getting into the mix. Who is the hero that he needs to,
why not? Well, go ahead.
I was gonna say. I mean, what is the? I wonder if it's Wanda. I mean, I wonder if it is. There's this. What?
We might as well like get started on that. That kind of romantic.
Oh,
then his vision comes back.
Oh,
so
okay,
complicates
okay,
everything.
Okay, okay. I'm hot. So
nice.
What if we get? Okay, so we're kind of having to create something out of nothing here. But what if? What if they've already started the West Coast Avengers? Okay, so the West Coast Avengers kind of come out of the idea of like, you know, we don't want to be in New York. Like we have Hawkeye and,
which by the way is just a hilarious concept that they made West Coast Avengers. It just sounds so funny, and the idea that first of all, Avengers are global. They are a global superhero force. So for some faction to break off and be like, oh, we're the West Coast Avengers, is about the dweebiest thing I've ever heard.
We got the Great Lakes Avengers too.
When they created
Midwest Avengers,
when they created the Avengers way back, they were not global. It was not a global thing. They were an American team. And they were based in New York City. So it was like all the action was in New York City. Everything was happening in New York City. So this was kind of their opportunity to branch out and say, hey, we're not just focusing on New York City anymore. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all of America now. So let's go to the West Coast. Let's go to the Great Lakes. Let's do, you know, and then that is even more kind of elaborated on during the, after Civil War in the comics happens. You know, Tony Stark becomes the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he creates the 50-state initiative. So every state has a set team of superheroes. Wow. And it's so regulated and all that stuff. And there's pros and there's cons to it, as they show you in the comics. But that's where all that kind of leads to. But just going off of that, and they wouldn't call themselves the Westlake Hardware Avengers.
The Westlake Hardware Avengers.
They wouldn't call themselves the West Coast Avengers.
Home Depot Avengers.
I think it would just be the Avengers, but maybe they have like a new like base of operations out on the West Coast somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's Wanda, and I want to say Hawkeye, but maybe, I mean, who else would be in this team? You know what I mean?
Who's historically in the West Coast Avengers?
You got, let me look it up. Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye and Wonder Man. I'm going to look up West Coast Avengers. I know all of the diehard fans are screaming at me right now from their
just
cars.
Just shouting them out.
And they're like, it's this character,
all driving
the
same bus.
List of West Coast
Avengers. Mockingbird.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Iron Man.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
The Thing.
Interesting.
I think was Beast on the team?
He says Hank Pym, Ant-Man.
Oh, there we go, Ant-Man, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. So
San Francisco, yeah.
So yeah, what if their base is in San Francisco, out where Pym Industries is?
Yeah, so now we have Ant-Man, we have the Wasp, we have...
Yeah, so Wonder it's Man. Like, it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, and...
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, and... Well, we got Falcon, Captain America, you know, maybe he's in there, right?
I don't know. Would he leave New York?
I don't know. It depends on what they do with the show, which is important to bring up now anyway, because Zemo is also in that show. So...
Oh, shit.
Oh, we know that?
Yes, Zemo has been confirmed to be the villain, or at least in the Captain America, and or I guess it's called Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The Disney Plus show. What if he looked up to Tony Stark, okay? They were childhood friends. For whatever reason, they broke off. I think maybe while his family hated the Starks, maybe Simon looked up to Tony and whatnot. He wanted to become a superhero, or he wanted to do something for good, just like Tony. So that's why we see him at the gravesite, right? And then, you know... So what if he is wanting to fill the void where Tony can't anymore, and so he's like looking for this opportunity to become a hero or something. Like, hey, Tony wasn't a guy with superpowers. Tony was a guy like me. He was smart. I'm smart. I can do something, right? And so he's like trying to be a hero, trying to do something, and then he kind of makes some bad choices and. You know, says yes, he makes a deal with the devil in that way, and making, you know, Zemo or whoever knows exactly what he's trying to do, gives him those superpowers, but then controls him. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I have a question too.
Yeah, I think what might be kind of interesting, and it's kind of a twist on what's in the comics, but what if his brother is the one running the company?
Okay.
Whatever his name is, Sam?
Eric.
Eric. Not Sam at all. Eric. And so he does have this feeling, right? He said that Tony Stark is dead, and he's always looked up to him, so he wants to do something with his life, or he wants to do more with his life. And so he talks to his brother, like, what can we do? And he wants to talk to him about it. And while that process is going on, he discovers that bad things are happening, like they're embezzling money, they're doing some illegal things, and he maybe accidentally gets caught up in it, and then Zemo is the one that busts him out of jail, just like in the comics.
Yeah, I like that. And to go even more into that, I like the idea that his brother is running the company. He is fucking riding the coattails of his family's money.
Right.
I think he is just a rich playboy actor.
Okay.
I think he hasn't done it. I mean, he's basically just a celebrity mm-hmm. who like can act, you know what I mean? Like he just gets mm-hmm. like roles cuz he's hot mm-hmm. and rich. Yeah. And yeah. so
Paris Hilton or Lala.
yeah. and so
maybe he played Tony Stark in like a movie.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that would be so great.
That's where we, after the title credits, we just open and it's
him in the Iron, it's Iron Man.
Yes.
And then the mask opens up and it's him on the inside.
Yes, that's great.
So good. We just see like this movie reenactment of Iron Man.
For the sake of character arc, I think we should bump up that whole jealousy aspect of wanting to have an impact like Tony or wanting to be like him. Also,
yes.
So that he has a place to arrive that's more noble.
So we open after. Okay, so we have our flashback. Something happens when they're children. Title credits. Movie premiere. We open the movie with a movie premiere of like the Iron Man movie, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Simon Williams, Legacy. And like everybody loves it, and they're going crazy, and he's just like living the life, but he's empty inside. Just I mean, in a mirrored way, parallel to how Tony felt.
Yeah,
and so. You know, he's living the party life. We have a conversation maybe with his brother. His brother's like trying to, what does his brother want? You know, I mean, let's figure that out. So is he happy running the company? So his brother's running the company and his brother is the one making deals with Zemo, right?
Maybe
his brother is secretly funding Zemo's projects and stuff like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Because Zemo. Because if we think about it, so...
He has to be out of... Because Zemo is in captivity.
Zemo was in captivity. We'll say that this takes place probably after the Falcon and Winter Soldier storyline. So he's probably... Let's just say he's out. He's out in the world. He's about...
Well, plus, I imagine, like, the snap and the ensuing activities have probably messed up a whole bunch of stuff. So maybe he got out somehow during that, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so I want to say... Zemo in the movie is a much more intriguing character than Zemo in the comics. His whole thing is that he's trying to destroy the Avengers from the inside because he believes that the Avengers are, you know, they
cause more destruction.
Which is similar to how Simon Williams in the comics kind of feels about heroism, right? Maybe that's something for later. But
how he ends up as the person who is a pacifist.
Yes, yeah. So what if Zemo is working with Eric, the brother, to kind of like Eric basically would be trying to take down Stark Industries, the competitor, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if Stark is still funding the Avengers, okay, so it's all kind of tied together where Zemo and Eric would then be trying to work together to take down the Avengers / Stark Industries. So basically Zemo's plan this time is to go and take, if he takes down Stark Industries, then
he defunds the Avengers.
Yeah. it's corporate sabotage. That's his big evil plan. Something more sexy than that. But, so what do we have? A movie premiere. And then we have Eric and Simon. We have a conversation between the two of them. Eric hates the Starks. And, you know, Simon's like, hey, man, my movie just came out. You gonna go see it or whatever? And Eric's like, no, fuck you. Like, you're...
Can we invent a sympathetic confidant or someone that he can, like...
For Simon?
For Simon, yeah, that he can kind of share his feelings of, like, feeling empty and, like, wanting to do more. Someone he can talk to about that.
Is his father still alive?
Maybe?
And it just retired and like has passed the company off.
Because everybody's dad is always dead in these things. Maybe his dad is the one dad is still kicking.
So what if his dad has like...
He's at 110 years old.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he has like Alzheimer's. So
it's fun.
I'm just wondering because like maybe there's some hidden clues in his dad's memory of what actually happened with him.
That's
and
why we get the flashbacks kind of scattered
And so Eric's kind of written dad off, right? Eric was just waiting for the reins to the kingdom. That's not that how that goes.
You reign over a kingdom.
Yeah. So he was kind of, you know, so dad's in this like, you know, he's like, hey, dad's fine. He's living the good life. He's in that like rich ass nursing home or whatever, right? and Simon is going like,
he got water aerobics and everything.
As pig-headed,
sex with all the old biddies.
As pig-headed as Simon is, he still cares about dad, right? Yeah. So maybe he goes to see dad and he's like, "Dad, look, I got the new movie coming out. Like, you know,
yeah, it's pretty fun. He's got an advanced screener that he can watch with him." So most of the movie is them actually just watching his movie together.
That's actually a nice sympathetic moment. Like, after all the glitz and glamour of a premiere event that he's a little dead inside about being a part of, he goes home and just like watches a little screener with his father to share it with him, whose father is barely cognizant for all of it, but then later on becomes that's kind of nice.
Okay, so what kicks this thing into gear, right?
So I think it's he discovers, like, he wants to get involved a little bit more to, like, do good.
Yeah.
And the company is the best way that he knows how to do that.
So what if it's dad? What if he, you know, living the good life, party, movie premiere. Next morning, he goes to see dad, tell him all about this stuff, and dad is disappointed in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if it's like, you know, he's like, check out this movie. And he's like, why are you wasting your life, son? Or something along those lines
what
of like,
does it do?
Like, you know, like you could do so much with what you've been given and all this stuff and whatever along those lines. And he makes him think, maybe he says something too about the Starks something that Simon hasn't really heard before about like how, you know, maybe dad really admires Tony Stark, actually, and all that he's done. I don't know, something like that. Because it's got to... We need something...
I know you think that we always had disagreements, but I did see that the man was wise. And you making these movies is the one thing I am more disappointed in than my relationship, my tortured relationship with him. I don't know. I've just been balling.
Along the lines of dad is disappointed in him. Now he's got this. He's like, what am I, you know.
But we should definitely cast Danny Glover
to
do that voice, kind of a voice for it.
Yeah. Danny Glover's the dad.
Beautiful.
No explanation about the race then.
Nope.
Well, I mean, Simon can be black.
Oh, can we make Wonder Man black?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, that's great news.
The last thing we need is another rich white playboy turning into a superhero.
Yeah, you know what? That's funny that you say that because it's that simple to make it. This is something we ain't seen as much. We don't see too many movies about rich black playboys.
We really don't.
Like, why not? Let's go.
So, okay, so... shit.
You were talking about after the trailer movie.
Yeah.
Something his dad says.
Something's gotta happen. We need some trigger.
So he was like, yeah, I, because maybe, you know, during the opening night, like, we see those glimpses of like the hollowness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we understand, oh yeah, there's all this kind of glamour to it, but
and there's empty chairs where reserved for dad and brother. They didn't come to the premiere.
Yeah. That's really what it all is about. I think he gets involved and he's snooping around, isn't it? Not like on purpose, but he wants to get more involved, so he's looking around at like what he could do, and he comes across like, you're working with Zemo, like you're helping him out, and so he discovers all of this, then his brother like tries to explain, he's like, no, you've got to meet him, and then like it'll be fine, everything will, and so he does, he talks to Zemo a little bit, and Zemo talks to him about you know, how all of these Avengers and superpowered people are just causing more destruction.
I think in order for this to really, for him to be able to infiltrate the Avengers and for it to like really make sense, he can't idolize Tony.
Right.
Yet. I think there's got to be that rift that we see in the flashback, tears their families apart. Both brothers hate the Starks, and so it's kind of this ironic thing that he's playing Tony in a movie, you know, but he's playing him as this like kind of arrogant asshole, maybe,
right?
And you know, they're like, we even get an interview at the movie premiere of like, what's it like playing Tony Stark now that he's passed on? He's like, and he kind of gets borderline like offensive with what he's saying about the Stark family and all this stuff, and so then when he talks to
I think a lot of people try and idolize him, you know, kind of deify him. I'm just trying to, like, bring him back down to reality a little bit.
Yeah.
This is not a superhero movie.
Right.
This is just a biopic.
And so when he talks to Dad, and Dad's like, yeah, Howard was a good friend. He's like, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You're losing your mind. You and Howard were enemies. What are you talking, you know? And then he goes to, but his dad says something about, like, you should get more involved with the company. I'm disappointed in your acting career, whatever. And then so Simon goes to the company. He talks to Eric and he's like, hey, I want to be more involved. And they're like, okay, here's my big plan. Eric basically tells him the big plan. Not the actual plan, but right. He's like, this is how we're gonna get on top of Stark Industries. Finally, what Dad has wanted to do for decades, right? This is our plan to do it. And there's like a shell company, I think, that he's like, we're gonna work with this company and this, and you can be in charge of this project. I'm trusting you on this. Like we have this like brothers working together. It's finally time that you come into the family business. Great, good. That's our setup. And then now Simon is gonna go, whatever. Cut to the meeting with these people or whatever. Somehow, you're right, Andy. I think Simon has to figure it out that it is Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
That this, you know, the shell company is actually this super villain, this criminal.
I think he's swayed.
And I think it's even, there's probably some speech that's given and there's a handshake that happens and it's symbolic, but it's like Zemo sees more in Simon even than he does in Eric. To the point where I think he Zemo offers him the chance to become the next Iron Man, to become, like, you could be better than he was. Like, he was just a guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the powers of fucking Captain Marvel, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have these resources and yada, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
So then Simon, thinking, you know, Dad's voice in his head, oh, you be more like Tony Stark, you be better, you know, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all the naysayers and all the, you know, he's wanted Tony's life for so long. And so he's like, fuck yeah, let's do this shit. And so he signs up. And then we get to, so by act two now, we're in this, him getting superpowers.
Yeah.
Right? Experiment chamber and whatnot. So boom, now he's gonna be this new superhero. So now what's the plan exactly? Zemo wants him to
infiltrate,
join the Avengers,
infiltrate, and just bring him on down.
Now, does he tell Simon that he wants him to infiltrate in order to bring them down, or does he tell Simon, like, you're a superhero now, you're the face of Williams Innovations, just like Tony Stark was the face of Stark? Maybe that's their plan.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the big master plan. You know, Eric is telling him in the beginning, you know what we're missing? You know what the thing that Stark Industries has over us is? They have a fucking superhero on the payroll.
Yeah.
Right?
They got a mascot.
They are known for protecting the world. We need that.
Uh-huh.
And this is the guy that's going to do it for us. This guy can give us superpowers. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. It's not about making them go bankrupt. It's about getting their own superhero on their payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I think Zemo has secret plans. He tells Simon that, like, he's got this, that if he doesn't continually get this antidote from him every week, that he's going to die. And so Simon has to trust him. Simon has to come back week after week. That's what happens in the comics.
Mm.
And then ultimately, Simon doesn't, and he becomes a hero, and he helps the Avengers, and then he ends up dying. Because of that. And then he comes back to life later, of course.
Sure.
But so I think if we follow that arc a bit of you trusted the wrong guy. You put your trust in this guy to give you powers.
Now you have dependent powers on him.
Now he's going to go join the Avengers. He's going to go, like, but for a marketing purpose, right? It's not to actually do good deeds necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the best way to become a popular superhero is to join the Avengers. So
but
I'm going
to
go
sell it to him.
I'm going to go audition for the Avengers. I'm going to be like the fucking next Iron Man.
That's funny because he would consider it an audition too.
Exactly.
That's all the funny. Yeah.
I like that.
But they have to sell it to
him. That's a funny scene.
Like it's doing good, right? Like he would. I don't know the way that we have him set up
right
now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The idea is, and I think this is Zemo's the kind of guy who would make Eric believe that this is his plan, right? This is Eric's plan. And honestly, maybe it's not even Zemo yet. Maybe this is just some scientists that work for Zemo secretly. Sure. But, you know, Eric trusting the wrong fucking dudes, uh-huh. not really doing his research, just background checks.
Yeah.
And so they're like, these guys are going to give us superpowers. Mm-hmm. Or just you superpowers. I think Eric will get his superpowers later, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have Simon, and they're making this new Avengers team mm-hmm. out in San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to go join it. He's going to go audition for it.
Yeah.
And so we have this bit of like a... You know,
it's such a funny scene.
And I think someone from the company is like, "Hello, I'll be your audition advisor." And it's like, "Who are you talking to?"
Right. And I think we get maybe Scarlet Witch and
behind the table.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch and let's say Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yes, he's auditioning for them. That's funny.
Behind the table. And they're like, okay, show us what you got, what you can do. And then he just like blasts a hole through the ceiling. Uh-huh. He's like super fucking powerful. They'd be ridiculously dumb not to at least keep eyes on this guy, right? Sure, so sure. It's like, okay, well, you can obviously have power, but can you hold up in a fight? And then we get a fight scene between them mm-hmm. in the new compound or whatever. Uh-huh. I think he probably beats Ant-Man because what's our running gag?
Gag is shit. Not Ant-Man.
Everybody beats up Ant-Man. That's fair. And then I think Scarlet Witch matches him and maybe controls him a bit, but she's impressed enough. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of something between them.
This is great. Chemistry. Yes.
So then they're like, okay, so they are going to unveil this new Avengers team. And he's gonna be on it, and they're gonna dub him, or he comes up with his own name maybe, because it's just corny enough.
Oh, God.
I'm Wonder Man. Yeah. It's just
that's
so
great.
Stupid.
I love it.
So market research really shows that Wonder Man is.
Yeah, people love the word wonder. People love.
Good. So I think
can he please start the audition before he blasts a hole through the wall? And before the fight, can he start by saying, so do you want two contrasting dramatic comedic monologues? And he starts smiling like, don't do that.
Okay, so we get some segments with him, and the team. I don't know.
Doing Avenger things.
I don't know if we see the whole team necessarily, but I mean, maybe we do. Who knows what the budget on this film is. but then I think eventually he goes back to his brother mm-hmm. and he's like, hey, things are going great. But he walks in on this...
He's so excited that he just barges in.
He just barges in, and he sees Eric meeting with... Well, okay, so here's the question then. Does Eric know that he's in bed with Zemo?
Eric does.
He does.
I would say so.
And he was just tricking his brother.
Yes.
Okay. Because Eric doesn't care.
Yeah. He's a Grim Reaper. Or will be.
He will be. Or is he already?
Who knows?
Do you want him to run into Eric and Zemo now, or just... realizing that Zemo is the person behind those doctors that you were saying.
Oh, that's
so,
good.
So you
that's
could
good.
Break it apart.
So it's not Eric. So he goes back to the lab. So I think it's that.
He wants
it's
to tell
thing.
His doctor friends.
Well, it's that same thing right. though that you know they're like, okay, these are your superpowers, but you need to come back to the lab.
He goes
every,
back to get
every
his,
week
his re-up juice to make sure that he can still stay alive.
Yeah.
And then upon seeing the doctors, he also sees Zemo, and he's like, what the?
Yeah. So he sees something there that he's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. He sees Zemo. Oh shit! I gotta go tell my brother.
Yeah.
Goes to tell his brother.
He's like, oh, that's very interesting.
Brother knew the whole time.
Or do we know that yet?
Or he doesn't reveal.
He plays
brother,
it off.
Brother plays it. He has to...
Well, okay, so then he's like, what are we going to do? We can't, you
Let
know...
Let me handle it.
And he's like, yeah, I'll handle this. You just keep going back out. Put that smile back on. You're doing great. Stocks are rising. We're taking down Stark. This is great. Everything that Dad wanted. Mm-hmm. So then we have another scene with Dad.
Yep.
And I think maybe we get some more of that backstory. So now here's the question. What actually happened between Williams and Stark? What was the rift?
Well, I think Howard... You know...
The Duck. Just kidding.
Howard the Duck shows up again. I think Howard Stark probably did something shitty. I mean...
Yeah.
He wasn't the best guy.
Yeah.
So whether it was, you know, stealing an idea or, you know, profiting off of weapons...
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were going to, like... What is it called? Merge?
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to merge. Like Sanford Williams was happy to give his company over to Howard until he found out that he was going to get into weapons manufacturing.
Right.
And then he didn't want it. Because Dad is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Sanford's a good guy.
Yeah.
Howard's going to get into weapons manufacturing. He didn't want to be a part of that. And so he, you know, that caused the rift in their relationship, their friendship.
That's great. That's great.
But then when Tony stopped doing that,
and he has that his own.
Flash back to a scene with Sanford talking to Tony Stark.
Yeah.
After he's become Iron Man, and he, you know,
I love that the rift is over the weapons manufacturing. Every time that can come up, is great.
Yes. Yes.
Concept of what those can do.
Okay, because so that will also flashback.
That will also play into Wonder Man's decision to become a pacifist eventually, thinking that weapons of mass destruction, be they missiles or superheroes, are a danger to all potentially.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Then we see a scene with Eric, right? So he's like, "I'll handle it. You know, go back to your team. You're doing great." He goes and talks to Dad, maybe. We get that flashback scene. We understand what's happening. Meanwhile, Eric goes to... He gets a call, and it's like that Sith Lord hologram-looking thing, and it's Zemo on the other end. And he's like, "All right, Simon's on to us. You know, what do we do? You know, he's gonna come... If I don't do something, he's gonna come after you."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, then we need to silence him before he tells the Avengers or whatever, right?" You know, maybe it's... Somehow this is where Eric gets powers or something. Right?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Eric needs to get powers in order to...
be able to put a muzzle on his brother as needed.
Yeah.
Right. Or even, like, okay, let's say Simon dies. Like Eric's, you know, planning this out. Okay... Simon has to go. If he dies tragically, that'll raise up stocks, and then I have superpowers just like him, and I will then become the new face of the company. Right. You know, like he can't be trusted. And I think this can come even out of a bit of the scene with him and his brother, where, you know, he's like, we need to, and maybe Eric even tries to kind of coerce him a little bit and say, like, "Well, are you sure that's what you saw? Like, you know, maybe it's not that bad," and all this stuff. And but Simon has this good moral compass now, since, you know, maybe he's... I think Act 3, we have more and more with him and the Avengers and Wanda getting to know each other.
Well, I would also be interested to... if his moral compass does start to move a little bit.
And he starts to understand Tony a little more, too, I think, through Tony's friends, right?
Yeah. But they... like, the company has this dagger kind of dangling over him of, "You, if we don't give you this serum,
right,
you die."
Right.
So he has to do what they say, essentially.
Yeah.
And so it would be kind of interesting if at one point the directive is take out the Avengers.
That's okay. Good. What if so when he goes to brother, he says, "Okay, like, we can't do this," or whatever, and he's like, "I'm gonna take care of it, don't worry." Simon doesn't let it off the hook then, you know, and he's like, no, like, "You don't understand, this is Zemo, this is bad news, everything," and so he's going directly to the lab to like, confront them or something, or, I don't know where we want this to take place exactly, but the point is, what if Eric already has superpowers?
Yeah.
He secretly got superpowers earlier, and so when Simon tries to go and take down Zemo... you know, Eric stops him there, and it's a big surprise moment. Like, "Oh shit, what?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Did you think you were the only one?" You know,
we can churn out fucking superheroes. What do you think?
We're a fucking superhero machine. You think I'd put all my eggs in your basket? And so I think then he takes Simon down with Brother Fight. And
I think it would be cool to have an actual fight between Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man, if we can.
That'd be dope. So if they are going to fight, so then, okay, so it's not, so he subdues him enough.
And says, "Listen, and you says, do what we say.
Yeah.
Or we don't give you the serum anymore and you die."
Right. Yeah, and we get just how fucking evil his brother is in this moment. And Simon, you know, kind of reverts back to his bit of a, like, pushover, cowardly ways of being that younger brother.
There's a parallel between this and the flashback from that started the movie.
Right. Yes. And you know, agrees. Okay. All right. And now now Zemo shows his face or whatever and says, "Okay, here's what you're actually going to do. You're going to go plant a fucking bomb or whatever it is. You know, you're going to go and, you know, you have their trust. Or maybe it's getting plans or, I don't know, something, you know, weaknesses or whatever his master plan is to destroy the Avengers.
Convoluted as possible.
It couldn't be to take out Scarlet Witch in particular.
Yeah, maybe it is. To
which she then...
I mean, she's the most powerful.
She is, because we'll say Captain Marvel's off planet, obviously, so...
And Zemo knows that, and he's like, I need you to take out the lead. I mean, take them all out, but maybe start with her. So that leads to him having a confrontation with her, and in the battle or whatever, a confrontation of conscience. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe it's not even... I like the idea also that it's his thing is that he needs to go... He's gained their trust. He needs to get into their like database and hack inside so that Zemo can control... the entire base or whatever. Yeah.
Maybe there's a file that says like Vision backup, and he's like, "What's this?"
Oh, that's pretty good too, actually.
And they don't do anything with it.
It's just a little thing. Uh-huh. So
that's
teaser.
Zemo's after. That's great. Zemo's after, you know, maybe he's after Vision.
Maybe
he wants that Vision backup.
Yeah.
Or something. Well, whatever that MacGuffin is, that's what Wonder Man has to go, and he probably doesn't even know what it is. Yeah. But he's got to go. And then he's doing it, and who comes in and sees him? Wanda, right? Yep. And so all of a sudden it's like, you know, Simon, what are you doing? And he's acting and lying, and he's a smooth liar.
He's a great actor.
But she knows him at this point,
smooth
right?
Smooth liar, great
she's
actor.
She's the one who really knows who he is.
Like, are you doing your 2-minute monologue right now?
And so that's what, that breaks out into a fight.
You're in. You've already been cast.
That breaks out into a fight between the two of them. And then...
They fight. I love that, yeah, conflict of consciousness?
Conscience, right? So they fight, and then ultimately, you know, at the climax of that fight, he stops. He gives in, and says, like, I'm sorry, I can't, like, do this. Or maybe it's at the point where he's, like, he's gonna get away. Mm-hmm. Maybe he does get away. No, I
think he's gotta, I think the conscience has to win. He has to say, no, I can't be worried about me dying, and I'm not gonna keep trying to take you out.
Right. And so he leaves the data and whatnot. But instead of explaining, because we can't have all the Avengers storming Zemo.
Oh no, he'd get fucked.
So he's going to basically say like I'm sorry, and like gonna basically run away from her.
Yeah.
And so he runs off. He realizes what he has to do. He's got to go stop Zemo and his brother. But he's going to do it alone because he feels like he's the one who started all this.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe where he goes. Maybe Dad dies at some point. I think at the end of Act 3, Dad dies. And that's when Simon also goes to the lab. And that's when immediately after that, he finds out about Zemo. He goes to his brother. And then it all goes down fucking the shithole from there, right?
Yeah,
so then... But before he does that, Dad dies. He goes to the funeral. I think that's maybe where we get this like a bit of talking with him and Eric as well at the funeral. Mm-hmm. And then when everybody leaves, I think Simon walks over to Tony Stark's grave site and has like a moment.
A rich person cemetery.
Yeah, that's right. It's rich person cemetery. He has a moment there, I think, where he, you know, long dark night of the soul.
Right.
You know, moment. Anyway, point is, towards the end of the movie now, fast forward, so he goes back to the lab, or to the lab, and again, I think we only ever see Zemo on, like, hologram. I don't think Zemo's ever actually there, because I think his brother is the main villain here, right? He's not gonna take down Zemo. So Zemo's more like the Sith Lord here, pulling the strings for all of this. So when he comes back to the lab, he's like shutting things down, and then who comes in? His brother in this new costume, and he's like, you know, saying he's got his new Grim Reaper costume, which if you guys haven't seen, is like super villainous. One of his arms is literally just an extended scythe.
Oh yeah.
I think he's got like an eye patch or something. He's an interesting looking dude. But maybe he doesn't have any of that stuff yet. We can save that for the sequel where he becomes full-on villain.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we can allude to it a bit where in his ionic energy, he, like, creates some sort of scythe-like weapon, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we have this ionic energy battle between the two of them in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately Simon wins and defeats his brother who goes to prison, right?
Yeah.
Only to be later in the after credits scene, broken out by Zemo, who says, "I'm not done with you yet," and that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna be the first of my new team, the Masters of Evil,
ooh,
right? And we get a little bit of that action.
There we go. And he's in person at this point, no hologram.
Right. Yes, we actually get what's his face.
Does Wonder Man beat his brother by himself, or does Scarlet Witch Wanda show up to help?
I think it's just Simon. I think Wanda's big dope fight is against Simon, and when between the two of them, whatever stalemate or whatever happens, Simon gets out of there, because I want the climax to be brother versus brother.
I feel that.
I don't necessarily, because when you start getting too many characters with superpowers and whatnot, it just becomes, I think it means less, symbolically if she's helping him. Not that she, I mean, obviously she would, I mean, she could just go in there and kill him. she could just go in there and fuck shit up, obviously.
I want it to be, in a non-romantic fashion, just a, she's there with him when he's having this moment that he's going to die, or believes he is.
Yes.
And he's content with it, he's made peace with it.
Sure.
And it's tragic. But she's like, "I can heal you." You know, it's among her purview. It's sort of adjacent to her powers, I think.
Sure.
And she goes to do it and reaches out to him and realizes, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing you need. You're actually fine. You know.
I don't sense any fear in you.
The serum was always a placebo. That's when we reveal that.
Which
was in your heart all along.
I like the placebo idea.
Okay.
Personally.
That's good. Okay, cool. So then, she arrives, maybe with Ant-Man, because we're already paying him for the movie. Why not?
and that could set up their personal connection even more when it's this based on this life-death trauma for future movies.
Yes, so she's going to try to help him. He doesn't need the help even. But we have that scene. Yeah, we have his heroic moment of doing the right thing, even if it means his life and whatever. Mm. And then at the end, I think we do get him as one of the founding members of the New Avengers, right?
Mm-hmm. They're not called the New Avengers.
They're called the New Avengers.
West Coast.
They're called the New Avengers. That's good.
West Coast Avengers, Best Coast Avengers.
Best Coast Avengers.
Oh, hi, we're the Great Lakes.
Okay, so then after credits, I think the movie ends with him on stage there, and they introduce Wonder Man as one of the new founding members, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like that, kind of mimicking the beginning. Maybe he's even like narrating his own story for us in American Beauty kind of way. Is that the movie I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Is there a callback to the movie that can happen?
Yes.
Right
at the end. I don't know what it is, but, or maybe another actor is taking over the role of Iron Man, Tony Stark. I don't know.
Or it's him. Oh, can one of the post credit scenes be him sitting in on the audition for the movie about him?
Yes, there it is.
That's good. Yeah, we're gonna make a Wonder Man movie.
And half of the scene is the actor trying to understand what this movie is. So this is a movie about you not choosing or choosing to play Iron Man, and then now went and became an Avenger. What am I doing?
right. That's good. So those are the two after credit scenes. Is that one, and then there's one of Eric getting out of prison, Zemo breaking him out of prison, and starting the Masters of Evil. I love it. I love it. And I love that this starts our new Avengers, so we can kind of play around with that, too, in the future.
So you've got us
great. 2020, baby!
2020!
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with something special for you.
Woo.
We'll be right back.
Can we cut just real quick? We'll fix that snap in post, so don't worry about that. That's okay.
Yo, how many more of these are we gonna do? I've done like 12. I am Iron Man.
It's the climactic part of the whole thing. So it's like the culmination.
Simon, we need you to look. We need you to look at the camera.
Not my first rodeo. I've done acting before. I am Iron Man. I am Simon Williams. God damn it! I am Black Simon Williams playing White Tony Stark. Respect me, God damn it! My transformation is impressive.
Here's your water, sir.
Thank you. Fuck.
Listen, bro, business is grim. Simon, we need a superhero on the payroll.
Okay.
You ready to stop being a little shit actor and start being an actual...
I really hate that you are always ragging on my career.
It's go time. Let's do this.
For Dad!
3, 2, 1...
For Dad!
Oh my god, the meters are off the charts.
We're going too far, it's gonna kill him. We have to stop.
Keep going, this feels amazing.
It's a wonder he's still alive.
It's the Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man, get them.
Oh shit, bad guys, time to turn it on.
Alright Wonder Man, let's see what you got.
Dad, are you okay? I'm sorry.
I think you could be doing more with your life, son. There's a difference between acting like a hero and actually being one.
Wonder Man, Wonder Man. I am Wonder Man. And today I prepared for you a 2-minute audition.
I have a dramatic role. Actually, can you just like show us
as well?
Just go ahead and show us what you do.
You sure you don't want to hear the beginning of the monologue? I think it kind of sets up
my powers. I think we just need to see the powers today.
Okay. Well, I'll just give you one line before I start.
Okay.
Talk about a slice of Wonder Bread, wheat, dark wheat style.
His powers are bionic. His legacy iconic. He's not blue like that Sonic. And also not Hot Topic. Wonder Man. Wonder Man.
Okay. Well, we hope you enjoyed that Wonder Man trailer.
Yeah.
We're trying something new here. Please give us your feedback, though. Let us know if you liked that, if you didn't, what other things we could do.
Make sure to include notes about how you felt about the song.
Yeah. We're really dedicated to that song.
Looking for a Grammy.
We're gonna keep running.
Tosin,
we couldn't do that song or this whole thing without you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, you can just call me Tosin Man.
Yeah.
Tosin Man.
Tosin, where can our friends follow you?
The only thing I really use is Instagram. Tosin.morinfala on Instagram. I guess my first name is Tosin, and the last name starts with an M, and if you can figure out the rest of the letters, then you got me.
Nice.
Good. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MCWhoPodcast. I mean, I'm definitely much more on Instagram. If anybody follows us on Twitter, I apologize because I am really bad at that. But you can also find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, the MC Who Podcast. So go on there and join that group.
And we're conversations over there.
Good convos, lots good stuff. And please spread the word. Leave us a review. We would love to see some more reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever they're calling it, and everywhere else.
And we'll give you 10 full dollars if you script out the outline for the story we just told you.
Tosin will give you 10 full dollars.
Tosin will pull from the MC Who budget and give you 10 full dollars if you actually script out the outline.
That's right. Tosin's got that CW money, y'all. Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you one additional dollar for every other podcast episode you do the same thing for.
Dude, I'm not kidding. That's dope. Script that out.
Yeah.
Share it with us.
Someone's bound to have free time.
Give us some more theme songs. Okay, we're getting out of here. Until next time,
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And I was visiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stay wonderful.
My friends.
Good.
Because if at the end of his conversation, after showing the screener to Dad, Pops decides, oh, I fucked too many biddies. And then he has a heart attack and goes to the hospital. But he's not dead or some shit. And he talks to Mom, and Mom rouses something.
Well, would Dad be in a nursing home if Mom was still alive?
Well, he definitely shouldn't be fucking all them biddies if he's Mom.